Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey everybody, welcome to Life of Dad. We are a worldwide community of dads, and this is our podcast. This is where we hang out. My name is Tom Riles. I'm your host. I'm here with two great comics from the Nashville area. That's Mike James.
What up?
That's Lee Kimbrell.
Hello.
I've got three kids. Mike has two kids. Lee has a baby.
That's right.
And this is what we do. We look at you all as the fourth host of the show, our community, and we're going to start with the community today. You guys brought it before the episode even started. We put the question out, what's the most ridiculous thing your wife did to try to jumpstart labor? And here is what we got. Lee, you want to read off the first one?
Oh, yeah, coming from our boy Kenny. Kenny ordered a pizza that's supposed to induce labor. This pizza restaurant, Schipollini's, fantastic name. Schipollini's is famous for this pizza. I had to drive 80 miles round trip for this, and she went into labor 2 days later. That's not bad at all. The Schipollini's, the Prego pizza.
Wait, hold on. So 2 days later after she ate the pizza.
Yeah, so arguable that it worked, but right. Still, it's pretty nice.
I'm going to just bet that's not what did it.
Yeah, probably not.
That's my guess.
No, that sounds like you ate some pizza
right. And
digested it. And then 2 days later, you went into labor. But hey, I'll give Schipollini's the credit.
Shout out to Schipollini's.
We're skipping the fact that our boy Kenny drove 80 miles to get that pizza.
Are we talking, is 80 miles round trip, is that 41, 40 back?
I think right. So.
Okay. Either way, that's a strong work from an expecting father. So props to you, Kenny. I'm very curious as to the toppings on this pizza. What makes it induce a labor? Do we have that available?
We need a little bit more.
I mean, are we, like, what is it? Is it spicy food? Is it
cooked in castor oil?
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Right. Yeah, grease it up a little bit. Oh, my gosh.
It was about 40 years ago when in Clayton, California, and he made the Prego pizza, and she went on labor that night. It will work. We guarantee that the baby eventually will come out. We don't know when, but it will.
Yeah, I love that. Covering your bases.
Comes with red sauce, mozzarella cheese, salami, pepperoni, ham, black olives, bell
people
peppers,
are going
extra onions.
Yeah, doing it on purpose.
Sausage, ground beef, linguica, extra garlic, Parmesan and oregano.
Oh, yeah. So it just makes you sick to your stomach.
Sure. Throw the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah, you eat that whole pizza and you feel like you're about to die. Yeah. And then you go into labor.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, but brilliant marketing. It's all more coming from 40 miles away or further. Come on.
Honestly, I may have tried that if I had known about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't and will never be trying to induce my own labor, but I would just eat that pizza regular style.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. That is fascinating. That's some smart marketing by that place.
Yeah.
And I do wonder like the causation correlation, you know, but I mean, who knows? If it works, it works.
Yeah.
Get after it.
Well, good job, Kenny.
What? Causation correlation.
Man, 2 days
Dictionary
later.
Lee. All right. We're 4 minutes in. I can't say a word with more than three syllables in it without
what was the word again?
What is it?
What was the word you said again?
Causation versus correlation.
Oh, okay. I know those.
Yeah, those are standard words.
I wasn't looking at you like that. I was just looking at you because you kind of sound like you believe this.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, I love all like the woo-woo stuff, you know? I'll get into it. We'll try anything.
Well, speaking of woo-woo, Andy Goddard, him and his wife went to Costco and had an amazing $1.50 hot dog, and that triggered the pregnancy.
Love
my
that.
Boy, no driving, 50 miles, Andy, Costco.
$1.50.
All day.
Perhaps a couple samples in there got things moving as well, but we'll give the hot dog the credit.
Yeah, we can do that. But did he go there specifically for that hot dog? That's my question.
Yeah, she said we need to get this thing. We need to get this ship on the road.
Yeah, let's get this party going.
We got to go to Costco and get some tubed meat. That's what I need. I need some tubular meat.
Yeah, man, that sounds appetizing.
my kind of guy, Andy. Way to take her to Costco. We got Francis Pilon.
Oh, Francois Pilon.
Francois Pilon. Her contractions were slowing down, so she decided to go for a power walk. She came back in a hurry. On our way to the hospital, she gave birth in the car.
Woo!
The baby was out before I could pull over, and she delivered the baby herself.
No!
Ambulance picked her up, and I went back home to clean up the mess before heading to the hospital. She did it. She did it all.
Oh,
dude,
my
what are you,
gosh.
What's your purpose? What are you there for? You didn't do anything.
Delivered the baby herself in the back of a car. That is a
dude,
queen.
I can see Alicia doing something like that. Like, just getting frustrated with me. Like,
totally.
Turn left. Like, you know what? I got it myself.
You.
I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what are you doing up there? I just delivered a baby right. back here. Meet your son, Michael.
That does sound like something Anna would do just to spite me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly.
I'll take care of this.
Fine, I'll do it.
That's wild,
though. Man, Lady Pilon.
Yeah, sure
that's a beast right there.
Yeah.
Ambulance picked her up, so he called from the side of the road, called an ambulance, stopped driving, and pulled over. Called an ambulance. Mama's back there cutting the cord.
Right. Yeah.
And Dad's thinking about heading home.
Well, that's also, that's the origin story of like Ricky Bobby. that little yeah. kid is going to, that kid's got a need for speed, dude, man.
I'm tripping. I say clean the mess up. Like, that's just like.
Yeah. He's cleaning the car, right?
Yeah,
he just
I
went
get
home
that,
to clean the car.
Come on, man.
She made a mess.
Right. Why don't you look at this? Like. Just got there, this car clean.
You're in there getting French fries right. from in between the seats and then also just placenta.
Oh,
yeah. That's so that's crazy.
Here I am, a dad, always trying to keep my car clean. And look at my wife in the back. Just, she screwed everything
burn.
Up.
Dropping yeah. babies back here.
That's so wild. Power to her, man.
We've got an anonymous member, 762. Same night, had a greasy plate of onion rings. This Ooh. Is how his wife triggered her pregnancy. We had onion rings, Chinese food, and hot wings. A great combo. Follow up by a little brown chicken, brown cow. Still nothing. Then Craig Ferguson, we're going back in time a little bit, tells one joke. She laughs so hard that her water breaks.
Very nice.
Hmm.
Yeah, you hear that, the whole you know, brown chicken, brown cow to induce. That definitely yeah. feels like that a guy came up with that, right?
Yeah, I think he just made that. Yeah, yeah.
There was some husband who was sure. like, yeah, I've got a great hey, idea.
Listen, this will work.
There's a work. Saying that's like, what is it? You gotta, what is it? It's like you
what is it?
I don't even know.
I don't
it's
know
something
where you're
cute,
going with this.
Like,
it
you know,
with you gotta...
this is how we got in the situation. This is how we get out of the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Or okay. something like that. No, that's definitely a husband invented
yeah.
that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Without it.
I have an idea, babe.
Yeah.
I want to know the joke that Craig Ferguson told.
I would love to know yeah. the joke. Something with just like that delightful Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I love that, man.
Is he
Good
Scottish?
For Craig.
He's Scottish.
Scottish, I think, oh. right?
Yeah, I think so. He was known to flirt with a female guest quite a bit.
Yeah.
So maybe there was something internal, the mom to be seeing, you know,
some kind
him
of correlation.
Flirting on camera. And she's like, boom, let's have this baby.
Ferguson was the man.
That's a stretch, but okay.
No, that's a fact, Mike.
Yeah, no, that is a fact. That is a fact, Jack.
That's how it went down.
Good for you, Craig. Yeah, you brought a life into the world, man.
Shout out to Miss 762.
Lady 762. And then we got, what, Gino DeRosa. Sounds like the person who made the pizza that induces pregnancy, Gino DeRosa. Not to induce labor, but to flip a breech.
That's
okay,
when the baby's so, upside down. In the And I you want the baby's head Yeah. facing down, right?
Coming
you know,
out
so the
first,
baby's head yeah. is up near her chest, I guess. And yeah. they're trying to flip it around.
We laid an ironing board on the couch so she could lay upside down. And she broke the ironing board.
Yeah.
Oh, Gina.
Well, I was going to say, like, what? I've never seen an ironing board that can support human weight.
Yeah,
like
ironing
that.
Boards are supposed to hold, like, pants.
Like, yeah, it had to be the panic that made you think of that, like an ironing board. That would have not been my first choice.
Oh, man. That's exactly what a pregnant woman needs.
What?
To snap a household appliance with the weight of your body. They already just feel so terrible. And they're like, oh, I got an idea, babe. And then you just break it. Oh, that stinks.
That's why I was going to be my first question. What kind of ironing board was that? But so, it broke, so that made sense.
So do you go in? I've never heard of like trying to flip a breech.
I guess
a week before you get imaging done and everything, and you see that it is feet first, and then I don't know.
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm just getting this. So she tried to lay upside down so the baby would flip around. Is that does that happen? Does that work? Like, I thought they had to internally do that. Am I off?
I don't know how often this is done, but it's a brilliant idea of dad just, hey, babe,
yeah, Mr. I got
Rose,
an idea.
I set something up. Come on in here.
He's got her up in the air like a pizza, just flipping her around. They are like, it's like a human snow globe.
Spin them around.
You do
try
just
to use centrifugal force.
Centrifugal. Yeah. Now we're talking,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I read a couple books before.
Come
I
on, man. That's what I'm talking
Wait,
about.
What did you say?
Centrifugal.
Centrifugal?
Centrifugal.
I've always heard it centrifugal.
Okay.
But, you know,
listen, dude.
Centrifugal.
Hey, listen, man. You got to understand, I've been doing Duolingo, so that may be the accent I have now.
Centrifugal.
Sound it out, Mike. Sound it
centrifugal.
Out.
Centrifugal. That may be the new accent. What is it?
I've always heard centrifugal force.
That was a smooth way to say I was an idiot for saying that. I've always heard it different, but your way sounds cool.
Centrifugal is adorable, man. He tried to throw it in all casual.
See, I'm the opposite of you. I try to, if I have to say a word, I don't know, I rush through it. Centrifugal.
Yeah.
You know, but you just kind of really take your time.
No, because I thought I was right.
He hit every syllable.
I didn't think I was wrong. I thought that was it. Now I'm starting to question how many times I've said that to people in conversation.
It'd be a crazy word to throw out anyway. If you're just sitting there at the gym. Come on, brother. Use that centrifugal force. You got this.
Dude, I really thought that was it. Because you remember the Gravitron?
Yes.
That's what I would always tell people about that. That was like a party topic for me.
Or like,
I'm like, man, I remember when I got on that Gravitron, the centrifugal force would keep us up against the wall.
People are like, man, Mike is smart, kind
of. He's an idiot. Oh, man.
The Gravitron. Wow. Yeah, we had one of those at our little local fair, but it was called like the Scrambler or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe that they got away with that for as long as they did.
Is that not still, that's still going around? What do you mean?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, how?
Centrifugal force.
You'd go in there, the bad kids would always like flip over upside down or whatever, yeah, or hang by their hands by a bar or something.
To Mike's credit, though, this is centrifuge.
So thank you. See? Yeah. So Tristan, I was coming through, man. I appreciate you.
Centrifugal.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get it.
It's a whole different word, but
so real quick though, one more time. What'd you say?
I've always heard centrifugal force.
Centrifugal. Okay.
Centrifugal.
So it's not even a G in it.
Well, yeah, I guess there is the fuge.
Yeah, centrifuge. But yeah. I'm talking about
I wasn't even trying to come at you too hard, Mike James. If anything, I was trying to expose that perhaps the wordsmith had been wrong all along.
Nah, I don't think.
But
that's
indeed,
what you were
I was
doing.
Not.
Oh, that was a good one.
Well, Gina, it ended up turning out all right because both mom and baby girl made it out all right. It helped flip her once, but she kept flipping until 41 weeks. And she finally stayed up the correct way, and we had a perfect delivery. If I remember, it was a little advice from the doctor and a little internet knowledge. I doubt ironing board was a medical term they suggested.
Well, when the ironing board snapped, that could have been the thing that really did it.
You think so?
Yeah, just that force kind of jarred the baby.
Hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Woke it up, said, okay, yo, my bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what y'all are trying to do.
And this leads me to believe that this wasn't a one-time effort. They were doing this thing for weeks upon weeks.
Oh, definitely.
Because they were trying to flip her multiple times.
Wow. 41 weeks, too.
Well.
41 weeks is going all the way.
Yeah. That's stressful. Mm.
That's going all
especially
the way.
Especially if it's your first, like you really like are anxious to see the baby.
Let's get it out.
Yeah.
Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah.
Did Alicia have anything that she was doing to try to really jumpstart that labor?
Man, so with Scooby, she tried castor oil. That's why I suggested it. She tried castor oil, but that didn't work. Castor oil
is such a funny, I love the logic of that.
Oh,
just like actually just greasing up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just WD-40ing your body.
And it's horrible too.
Have you ever tasted, gross.
It used to be like my grandma used to give it to me like when you were sick.
Yep.
And you used to.
It's a nausea inducer.
It satiates vomiting.
Yes.
Did I say that right though?
It actually does the opposite though, right? I thought castor oil like made you vomit. It initiates vomiting.
All right.
You know, it's neither here nor there. It's fine. Castor oil also good for the bald man.
To do what?
Grow hair.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's like an old thing. Yeah. My brother uses castor oil in his hair, and he's got a thick mop. I think I'm a little too past. I think I would just have a greasy head.
Huh. So you don't ingest it?
You do ingest it, but then people like, yeah, topical. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, that's a basic one, but thank you.
Yeah, it's a good
one. You're gonna start giving me credit for like the basic words. He said, "Fee, good for you."
What is the? I can say all the words, but I don't know what they all are. What is the main use for castor oil? This is me honestly asking.
I don't know.
I really don't even know.
Like this? It's just for, dude.
I think you can do everything with castor oil. Like, I don't know. And I just trusted my grandma.
It is like a homeopathic medicine of sorts.
Okay.
You use it for...
A homeopathic.
Anti-inflammatory properties. It grows hair. You can use it to grease up your womb.
Have babies, grease your wound, grow hair. That's an all-in-one.
Yo, that's all you need right there, man. That's some good stuff. Ooh, a laxative effect.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And where did she just drink it? What are you doing with castor oil?
Yeah, she
willing to do anything to get old Scoobs out.
Now with Nunu, this was, I thought she was being ridiculous, but the breast pump.
Oh, really?
I thought it was, so with Nunu, Alicia's water broke like early in the day. And so she came home and sat down and she was doing all this stuff that I'm like worried, like, yo, we need to be going to the hospital.
Let's go.
So I guess around like 6 o'clock, she's kind of like, okay, this thing needs to come on. And then she read somewhere that if you use the breast pump, it can start the whole process. I thought she was crazy. Dude, she did it. And within, I would say maybe 10 minutes.
Really?
First contraction hit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was with Nunu?
Yeah.
So Scooby was past breastfeeding at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Scooby was 3.
Okay. So I mean, that tracks. Your body is like, okay, wait, something's trying to get this milk out.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the whole reason why it worked, but it worked.
But it did work.
It did
good
work.
To know, yeah. Man.
All right. What about Anna? Did she have any tricks?
Not really, man. Anna was a beast with it. I think I've talked about it before, but she was just at work. She went to work. It was working the night shift, was supposed to be home at like 7:30 in the morning when she typically gets home, but she was at work and just thought that she was having really bad Braxton Hicks, and the census at the hospital just happened to be low that night, so they got to send someone home. And everyone pointed at like the deeply pregnant woman and was like,
"Somebody was like, really, I have something to do."
Yeah, for sure. I'm super sleepy. No, but so she got first dibs. So she got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and she was always, you know, just kind of in a constant discomfort. So it didn't really strike her. But no, she was in active labor at work.
Wow.
Got home at 1 a.m., was fully in labor. Her water broke. At like 9:15, I believe, And then it was just off to the races. Baby born at 12:47.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a picture on my phone. When her water broke, like, she got up in the morning to go pee. It got me up. So I was up with her, just kind of sitting on the end of the bed, talking to her. And then I hear her say, "Oh my God." And she goes, "I think my water broke. Did my water break?" And I looked in, and it certainly did.
So her water broke too.
Yes.
Did Lucy's water break on?
Yeah. One of the other episodes, I said it broke for all three. She let me know it broke for one.
Yeah.
So one of the
That's
three
so
it broke,
crazy.
And that was the last one, Katie, at home. And I like our boy earlier, like, it was a mess. I was not happy about it. And I started cleaning that thing up, you know.
Already,
you know. I don't want that mess in my bath. She did it in the bathroom. That was nice.
We're going to get ants. We're going to get weird ants.
Oh, dude, ants is crazy.
But so Anna, because of the SVT, she had a scheduled C-section on 10/28.
Yeah.
And then 10/20, her water broke. Your body doesn't know that there's a scheduled anything.
Right.
So, no, her body was like, here we go. We're doing it. And as soon as the water broke, it's so funny that I thought to do this because my head was kind of spinning, but when her water broke, I started a timer on my phone, and then I stopped the timer when we were back in the hospital room with our baby, just the three of us, and it was like 3 hours and 49 minutes from the entire process.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was wild. So wild. And much like Alicia, Anna was just ready to have a day. Her water broke. The contractions were like pretty close together. And she was like, "No, we got to go to Costco. We got to go to UPS. We got to return these packages." And I said, "No, we really don't. I promise we don't." Yeah. So I just grabbed the half packed to go bag and we hit the road, man. We went and got it.
We had with our first Barb, we had one false labor. I don't know if that ever happened, where we went into the hospital 2 days earlier and they were like, "Well, you could sit here for 2 days in this ugly room, or you can go home and, you know, live life a little bit and come back when you're actually in labor." So she went home, and then her dad and her sister came into town. And I was at work. This is on a Thursday now. And they go down to the beach in Malibu. We're living in California at the time. And she had to walk down some rocks, some boulders to get to the beach. By the time she started walking back up the boulders, the contractions were coming in strong. So,
man,
she put in a little work, and then she started feeling it. Then it was almost time to go.
Threw it in. No, Anna induced it just by living her life as if nothing was going on. She was just at work, got home at 1, went to sleep, woke up, water broke. But no, I mean, she was in active labor at work the night before.
That's wild.
At the very hospital where she was going to just go back to and give birth.
That's why. Yeah, she was just there. Yeah, well, what better place to be?
Yeah.
Might as well. It's where SVT happened to her for the first time, just at the hospital.
Just stay there.
Just lock it in.
Jeez, dude.
We're going to talk more about, you know, basically game time or the end of the third trimester, heading to the hospital. That's what we're talking about this episode. But first, Mike, you go. What was the weekend like? What's going on at home this weekend?
Oh, man. I was at home this weekend. I was pretty much the Uber driver this weekend. Me and Alicia for the kids, just taking them to parties and that.
Oh, like grad parties into school parties and stuff, or what?
Yeah, man, just birthday parties and just summer parties. Always something going on, man. And then, you know, you gotta take them. So it was a busy weekend.
Are you trying to like talk to your kids on these car rides to have that, you know, dad kid time, or y'all listen to music? Or
yeah. I try. Me and Nunu, she'll talk to me. Scooby, you got to pull it out of him. But it's a teenager, you know.
That's a teenage boy.
Yeah. So, but you know, we'll have our moments too. So that's one of the things I love about like getting to take them to school in the morning time. We get those moments where I can talk to them, and you know, it's not long, but it's fun.
Anything is worth it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of driving, but you kind of learn to love it.
Yeah.
We're gonna miss it in like 4 years when our kids are all grown and they're driving on their own.
Well, yeah, they're forced. They're in a tight little confined space with dad It's your time. It's your time to shine.
Yeah. Oh, Scooby just and Scooby just passed his driver's test this past weekend.
Oh, congratulations to Scoob man.
Yeah, he's excited.
Wow, so. That is a serious change in the guard.
Yeah, that's he turned like 16 era. At the end of the summer.
Let's go, man.
So he has a permit now?
Yeah, he has a permit, so he has to keep that for 6 months, but yeah. Man.
Wow, all right.
That's huge. Very exciting stuff, man.
Exciting, scary.
All of it.
Very scary.
Will he get a car?
He already has one.
He already has a car. God. Does he like... Is he out there like shining it up, taking good care of it?
He's got a keychain with the key on it. He's he can't wait.
That's what I did when I turned 16. Before I could even legally drive, I was wearing it around a lanyard on my neck all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. Like, I am a guy who can drive.
Yeah.
I am different. I am a changed man.
Can't go anywhere, but I have this key, this proof.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Any part of you... Kind of like what Tom was saying, any part of you, obviously it's exciting, but like any part of you sad? I mean, as just a dad, that I just feel so weird. It's like now Frankie can hold her bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's exciting. It's a milestone, but it's also kind of like a total gut punch to me where I'm like, it's the first semblance of her not needing me as much. Man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, Scooby next summer, he'll be driving himself to his own parties.
Yeah, but it's always something. Like, they're going to need you for something else. Like, I still need my parents. You know what I mean?
So totally.
It's always going to be something.
We were out in California this weekend. I had a work event, and we were actually in the area where we used to live, kind of the Santa Monica area, right near the ocean. And we were actually driving with our kids and telling them, hey, this is where we used to drive you so you would just sleep. Right, you probably would that. I don't know if Frank is a good a car baby, but we would put them in the car and just drive along the coastline. They would sleep for hours, and then you got some light music on. The last thing you want is for them to wake up, so you got to keep driving until that nap is over.
Car naps are huge.
Yeah, man.
I have logged hundreds of miles just driving the half mile circle around my neighborhood, like to the point where there will be people out walking their dog or something. And they will notice me after about the eighth go around.
Yeah.
And to them, it looks like somebody casing the neighborhood.
Right.
Like it looks really sketchy.
With a stroller?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just, hey, how we doing? Waving.
A stroller in the back.
Yeah. Waving at him every single time I go around.
Honey, did you see that bald guy with the stroller?
Yeah.
I'm able to lock the door.
There's only one time I've cased a neighborhood and
it was. Wait, do that. I love how you throw stuff in like it's
case
just normal.
In the joint.
Well, when we moved here to Nashville, we bought the house without ever having visited. So we moved to Mount Juliet. So we put an offer on a house.
Wow. We're
still living in California. So I flew out and they accepted the offer. So like, I got to go check out this neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I flew out here and then got a rental car and then purposely drove the streets at night in my neighborhood to see, you know, what was going on. And I was looking real hard to find something, right? And I pulled into like the parking lot where kids might hang out or, you know, just driving past our house to be. But then somewhere in there, I realized that I was the bad guy in this
You
scenario.
Were the shady element in this moment.
Dude, you were casing.
So funny, he's driving around. He's like, yeah, there's no creepy guys driving around or like checking out parking lots. This
Nobody's
is good,
out
man.
Here, man.
Is- yeah, that rules.
Meanwhile, everybody else is like, man, you see these creepy guys driving
yeah,
around?
Yeah, totally. I love that. Sight unseen, bought a house.
Yeah, dude.
What That's a awesome. Move.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. So we came out, and then it was Valentine's Day weekend. This is 2021. I came out, and then my wife came out a couple days later, and we had a good time downtown and, you know, saw the house. We actually saw Adrian, our producer. Adrian and Jen were our friends, so we hung out with them, got some barbecue, and then closed the deal
so
on the
So when you
house.
Moved here, you had what, like an 11-year-old, a 6-year-old, and like a baby?
10-year-old, correct. Yeah, you're right, spot on. Well, close. Not a baby. 5-year-old was the youngest, and the oldest was 10. So from 5 to 10, basically.
Okay.
But we came during COVID, so the kids restarted school here. So it was actually a great time to move.
They needed a
they
reset
had been out of school
anyway.
And they restarted here and made all new friends right away. So it worked out really well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came here right when the world was kind of returning to a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah.
And they got to be, I mean, they got to be the new cool California kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Worked out perfect for the Riles brood. I love it.
We're loving it. What about your weekend, man? What'd you do, Lee?
Another weekend on the road. Took the baby as well.
Yeah.
So Thursday, Friday, Anna was working. So I was on dad duty. A couple good nights. It was fun with the old baby. And then I had a show in Winchester, Kentucky, which is like 30 minutes outside of Lexington, which is where I'm from. So Anna got home Saturday morning, loaded in the car, headed up to Lexington. Pretty smooth trip. Frankie slept. Anna slept. I got to just ride in silence. It was wonderful. And yeah, Saturday hung out at with mom and dad, with Honey and Baba. Aww. And they got to use their baby cage or pit or what do you call it?
They built a nice one, you said, right?
It is the funniest thing you've ever
baby
seen.
Baby cage.
It just completely disabled the entire living room. They took out the coffee table. They took out an end table. It took up the entire thing. They filled it up with like little balls, like from a ball pit.
Yeah.
And Frankie was showing out, man. She just hung out with him all day and laughed. And she's starting to like stand for little periods of time, which is just the funniest thing, seeing somebody do that for the first time. Yeah. And just kind of the look of like amazement and confusion over their face.
Yeah.
You'll be holding her hands and then you'll kind of let go. And she's just kind of sitting there and she's like, whoa, are you guys seeing this? But yeah, mom was there. Dad was there.
Yeah.
Steven, my Uncle Bub was there. It was perfect, man.
Man, when you're the only baby, I remember when my niece was born and she was the only grandkid for my parents, right? So when you're the only baby in that arena, all eyes on baby all day long,
constant.
Every day, right? That is everything.
And it's so nice. It's like, I obviously, Anna and I love being this little baby's parent and caregiver, but it's really nice to have six other hands on board.
It's necessary almost.
I mean, I caught myself just going off into another room, not even looking at my phone, just sitting on a couch and just like staring off into a corner, knowing that everything in there is okay.
Yeah.
But to your point, man, there were just some really beautiful moments where I'd walk into the living room and Frankie would be sitting on the ground and then my mom, dad, and brother flanking her on every side, just laying on their stomachs, just kind of staring at her. Just kind of staring at her and laughing with her.
Beautiful.
And, you know, she tried a couple new foods. And, no, it was beautiful.
I got to say, I did enjoy using the baby as an excuse for me to go take a nap, though.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Oh, I caught a nap on the couch.
Sorry, we got to disappear for a little bit. Jeez. And it's more for me, not for the baby.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
All right, guys, I'm going. I got to put her down.
Yeah.
Can't hang out tonight. Sorry.
Anna really took advantage of it in the best way. And she deserved to.
Yeah.
But I mean, Anna went out to Target by herself, got her a little coffee, walked around Target, came back home with like a whole kit to do her nails.
Oh, wow.
Like even got the little UV light. I don't know any of it, but like sat out on my parents' back deck and did her nails, not having to worry about the baby in the least bit.
That's awesome.
So it was delightful. And then we headed out Sunday at about 3:00, timed it with a nap, threw Frankie in the new car seat. She slept about halfway there. Stopped at Bucky's, grabbed a couple burritos, changed a diaper in the Bucky's bathroom, which is the premier spot to change a baby's diaper, by the way.
Yeah, Bucky's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just clean as a whistle, and they've got like four changing stations, and those are all clean too.
Yeah.
God, have you ever rolled up to a gas station having to change a baby, and then you look at that, you take the table down and it looks like a crime scene and you're like, man, I can't. I'm doing this in my lap. You know? Yeah.
Dude, I'm wondering about that saying, clean as a whistle. I'm sorry. It's just, it popped in my head. Like, clean as a whistle. Where did that come from?
Well, I would imagine that you would need to keep a whistle pretty clean. You know?
For what?
A lot of human mouths on it.
Well, I'm not letting anybody else use my whistle.
I think most refs will have their own whistle, right? I don't think they're sharing whistles.
Yeah, but when we're talking about the early days of whistle technology, I'd imagine there wasn't a lot of whistles to go around. There was probably a town whistle that everyone used whenever they needed to get somebody's attention or something.
You think everybody in the town just had one whistle?
Yeah.
This is the best we can do here.
Yeah, who knows? It says, you know, perhaps it's the exact origin is debated. Likely evolved from the earlier 18th century expression, clear as a whistle, probably describing the clear, undeniable sound that is a whistle. And then they just threw a little line on that lowercase r and turned it into clean as a whistle.
Well, that's not.
I will say it makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense.
I'm in probably a 95 percentile of whistlers. Like, I'm high up there.
Oh,
I'm
you can good. Whistle good?
Oh, I'm good, yeah.
One of those
can you do that?
No, I can't Me do that, either. But I can make bird sounds.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Do you talk to the birds?
What kind of bird was that? You just did.
Was it a robin?
Was just I'm working it out. Putting in the reps, Mike.
One more time.
It was a, that's a, I can inhale.
I'm right. A big whistle. Oh, there pretty you good, go. That's right, a so police car so bird.
Right. So we're whistling.
Will you name a song? I had a whistling tryout in college.
I
was in choir, a chorale, and I'm not a good enough singer to get a. Yeah, there was a big group of us, and it was actually prime sweaty palm. There were a lot of handshakes. Anyhow, I had a whistling solo because I was never. I would never get the singing solo. I just wasn't good enough. I lost it in high school to Brendan Boyle.
No hard feelings, Mr. Boyle.
Shout out to Brendan.
Anyhow, that was a Christmas concert. I would have had the senior solo. I didn't get it. Brendan beat me.
But you a whistler, dude. Yeah. Like, so
I went hard in the whistling, and I was still in the choir, and they had a whistling solo, and I was ready for it, but then my buddy Brian O'Neill beat me out for the whistling solo.
So come on. Brian and Brendan, let the guy have a moment.
Dude, I swear, every episode you say something. I mean, like, it never misses.
Yeah.
Like, well, I did not know that. You were a whistler.
Yeah, yeah. I did a little this weekend. So we were at this, out in California at this resort.
I had a little bit of whistling tonight.
Yeah. A resort, and I've talked about this in the past. This makes me nervous staying at a resort, but we were staying there for free because I was working at a conference. It was a fundraising conference, but they had birds they had a big bird cage in the middle of the resort, and I would just go and whistle with them.
Hey, Tom,
with the birds?
Yeah, they're all there.
You were speaking right to my heart. So I talk to the birds as well.
Yeah. All right.
So I asked that earlier.
I'm starting to feel weird now because I'm like, I don't do this. Is this normal?
No, it's definitely not. We're whimsical young boys at heart. I talk to the birds in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't talk to the birds. I was just in a scenario where there were birds in a giant bird cage at a resort, and you just looked at them. So I would just kind of whistle with them for a little while.
And they'd be like,
it was calming.
This guy's Did other people bird. See you?
A couple people saw me, yeah.
I wonder if the people in Mount Juliet knew that it's what you did. Like, there's a creepy dude running around here whistling, just
casing the birds, yeah. I had to keep it low-key because I was the MC of this conference. So if I saw people from the conference come near me, I would have to just kind of walk away, right?
Like, I'm not having a conversation with the birds.
Hey, like, man, I just heard somebody whistling. Yeah.
But this was really cool. So I got to speak at this big fundraising conference. And my daughter, for the first time, Barbara, this is we're raising for a hospital foundation, Advent Health Hospital. And she gave part of a keynote.
No way.
Barbara did,
wow.
My daughter, about her health journey. She got a standing ovation, and it was one of the highest moments of my life. Yeah. I've never gotten a standing ovation, which is fine, but she deservedly got a standing ovation.
No way.
Crushed awesome. It, talking about faith, talking about her heart surgery, and she just owned it.
How big of a venue would you say?
It wasn't huge because it was just kind of really high-end donors. So there were probably 50 people in the room, but high net worth individuals. Yeah. It was really, really cool. Wow. To put it in perspective, the only other person that got a standing ovation that weekend, Condoleezza Rice.
That's crazy, wow. Man.
She spoke the second night. My daughter spoke the first night.
Wow.
Barbara.
Yeah. Did you have to follow her?
I was with her. I kind of opened for her. And then it was an interview style like this. So I would ask her questions, but she just... crushed. Just she killed it. Jokes were flying. She's a natural.
Damn, opened up, up for good your job. Daughter. Yeah. What a dream,
yeah.
man.
It was awesome, man.
A chip
yeah,
off man. The old block.
So that was,
I see the pride in
yeah,
you, man.
Truly. Yeah, dude, yeah. She crushed it. I was so proud of her. And then it was just cool to kind of be back in California. Like I said, we drove past where we would drive the babies. When I moved to California, I was 22, and I was thinking about this because I got to California. I had a job. I was hired to be a production assistant for Hollywood Squares. Oh. And side note, Henry Winkler,
yeah.
the Fonz,
yeah.
was the producer on it. So he called me and was like, hey, you got a job.
Did he say that?
Yeah, yeah.
He fully went into the character.
So I had a job. So I drive out to California, my parents' Buick, and I get out there at the age of 22, and I was camping the whole way, just me, car full of stuff in the Buick. And then I didn't have an apartment yet, so I get to Santa Monica, and I go down to the beach, and I'm just you know, uber excited to be there. And my wife tells me I'm like kind of too, I should be keep my guard up more, but I love everyone, right?
Yeah, amen.
So I'm just kind of out there meeting people, made friends on the beach, and you know, having a beer. I'm like, this is amazing,
yeah.
right? And then one guy like pitches a tent. I was like, this, I got one in the car. So I head back to the car, get my tent, bring it out. When I get back, it had changed a little bit. There's multiple tents up at that point.
Wait, did you like stayed at a homeless encampment?
Well, when I got back from the Buick, dude, there were people sleeping underneath the pier, and you know, those that were still awake,
everyone's looking
are
at
having
this guy.
The time of their lives. And that's when it hit. I was like, wait, I'm homeless.
That's amazing, Tom. Just to have such a pure heart that you're like, these guys are great. They're just chilling out here. They're all skinny.
Dudes.
They're all suntanned.
Yeah.
They got long hair. It's the California dream.
The weather was great. We were toasting each other. You know, I mean, I was a new guy, but we were just having a great time. They were so welcoming.
Tom standing around like a trash can fire, just like, man, this is the best time ever.
He's like, all right, guys, I'm going to get out of here.
He looks over.
I'm about to head to the house.
Yeah, for real. They thought that they were like, man, what? You're crazy. You got a car. Dang, you found your people out there.
It was I mean, I didn't spend the night because I felt, you know, once it hit me, but I was a couple beers in, so I had to go kind of just settle in the Buick for a while, and then I found a hotel.
You are the man. I love that so much.
So went back home. So and there's even more of my friends there these days.
These guys are free spirits. They just live on the beach? Just like, small town Tom.
How many dudes just have no clue of what's happening?
Like, it was
this
awesome.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
California rules. Oh. Guys, I know Henry Winkler. They're like, the Fonz? I'm the Fonz. You don't know the Fonz because I'm the Fonz. I love that, man. That's a great origin story.
Yeah.
It is.
Sweet Tom drives out to the Golden Coast.
Yeah. So.
meets a bunch of homeless people. Camps out with them. God, that rules.
Oh, to sum it up, I found an apartment.
I got a team in the car.
Dude, I had the tent. I was camping the whole way. I was like, this is perfect.
He was like, hold on. He's like, hold on. That's what we're doing. I got a tent with me.
You were so lucky you didn't just get robbed blind,
oh,
dude.
No, like, I just wish.
You guys got tents? I got a tent.
It's crazy, man. Just,
like your eyes lit up when you saw all these tents. You're like, oh, this is what we doing.
Bunch of like-minded individuals.
Dude, I just want to know. I just wish I could have saw your face when it like hit you. Where you at? What did you do? Were you just like, oh, I got to get up out of here?
Yeah, no, it was... You know, you have the bars, the tent, you start kind of opening them and connecting them. And, you know, then I saw some guys asleep and I was, that's where it got.
Just on the ground.
Under the pier. A lot changed in that 30 minutes back to the car.
Yeah.
Right in ballet. I was a little ways down the road, right? So a lot changed in that 30 minutes.
Yeah. You come back. Tom's like, I'm making s'mores. And he's like grilling a rat on a stick. Who wants hot dogs?
Oh, that rules.
That was me every stop and the whole way out. I had a little fire at my campground and putting a hot dog on a stick. Just doing it with my boys.
He's like telling everybody, hey, man. He's like, they introducing himself. I'm Donkey Rider.
I'm Donkey Rider. Hey, Donkey. Get on over here, doggy. There's an alternate timeline where you just never started your family. You just lived on the beach of Santa Monica.
I think this dude made me cry every episode.
That's you're struggling now.
Oh my gosh, man.
Oh man.
It's really funny.
But yours are like tears right now, like you just had a baby. These are full on.
This is just so, oh my gosh, your stories, man.
You just have a beautiful heart, man. You do. You really do. You truly do. It makes sense that you started this whole Life of Dad thing because you just, the way that you see the world and see people.
Pure heart, man.
People are good.
Good heart. People are good.
Celebrating the world. Celebrating
Amen.
The life that we have, man.
Yeah, man.
That's
Amen.
What it is. Well, the community has been amazing. And let's get into kind of some of the comments that have come in about our Wendell Jordan. On Spotify left a comment about Lee. He said, Lee says ibuprofen like it's someone he learned about in history class.
Oh, so yes.
Say ibuprofen, Lee. How do you say it?
Ibuprofen?
Ibuprofen, yeah.
Dr. Ignatius Bartholomew Profin. Ibuprofen. How do you say it?
Ibuprofen.
Oh, you throw the bu in there.
Ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
Oh, gosh.
That's
hey,
how you
ibuprofen,
say
ibuprofen, ubiprofen, we all be profen out here, man.
What about, how would you say Robitussin? Robitussin? Or, you know?
Yeah, Robert. Robert Ulysses Tussin. Robitussin, ibuprofen. Any other ones?
Benadryl. Know?
Benadryl. Benjamin Drill. Dr. Benjamin Drill.
Ben A. Drill.
Benadryl.
The founding father. Yeah. Well, thank
you, Wendell.
Yeah, thank you, Wendell.
IB.
On YouTube, Brian Gross says, oh, this guy, if there's a comment that sums up the whole show so far.
Come on.
And these are mostly your words, so I'll let you read it, Lee.
Brian Gross hit us with, you can satiate a lot of Donkey Rider's hunger with a toaster like that. And you can indeed, Mr. Gross. That was a callback to just about every episode that we've done
right?
so far. The toaster's right behind you over there, man.
It's a beauty right
the
there,
big,
yeah.
The big, shiny Art Deco toaster.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
that's you
right.
can.
Satiate.
Yeah.
Man, if you had Pierce Brosnan's toaster out there on the beach, a guy's like, no way, man. He plugs it into the sand. He's like, let's make it. Come on. Let's make some toast.
Hey, Donkey Rider's got toast.
This guy's a man. This one, I loved this. Alex Hoskinson, my brother in arms. He said that he really felt like he was in the last episode. He goes, I think Lee and I may be the same person. I'm a 36-year-old, bald, mustachioed dad. I enjoyed my bird feeders, and I also had a raccoon getting into my sealed plastic birdseed container in the last couple weeks. It really hit home. Alex, hit me up, man. Let's go out. Let's go on a walk.
He's upset about that raccoon. My dad is, like, is that a thing? My dad is, like, called me over one time to complain about squirrels. It was like a squirrel that was, he was complaining about a squirrel that was across the street. He was like, that squirrel just keeps coming. The squirrel keeps coming over here. Like, dude, calm down.
Dude, so the raccoons, I did talk about them a little bit. I have no qualms with the raccoons. The raccoons in my neighborhood, we've got kind of like an ecosystem that we live together. But the squirrels, man. Squirrels gotta go.
No problem.
The squirrels are scaring off all of my birds. They're eating all of the seed. And I've got, you know, some people are reaching out and saying get a pellet gun or anything, but I also don't have it in me. I'm not trying to like kill these squirrels. But
it's not that serious.
No, it's something that Frankie and I have bonded on is we go out and scare the squirrels off.
Chase
together.
The squirrels out.
Yeah. Like I'll pick her up. The squirrels will be out there and I'll pick her up and she like knows at this point. because I go out there and I'm like, go get, you know, I'm screaming at the squirrels, get out of here. And then Frankie just starts babbling at the squirrels too. So
you think she's babbling at the squirrels or you? She's probably what are you doing?
Yeah, she's like, enough with this, man. Keep me in the bouncer. I don't need to go out here and scare the squirrels off of you.
Have you ever had a squirrel in the house?
I have.
How do you combat it?
Just try to corner it. You're definitely incorporating a broom into this situation. So you just try to corner it. And last time we had a squirrel in the house, threw like a hoodie over it and kind of bagged him up.
Yeah,
that's like, and then tossed him out.
Was it Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the last times I was home, one of my parents' cats brought in a chipmunk.
Oh, wow.
Into the house. And there was a chipmunk loose in our kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I just sat back and enjoyed the show as my brother and dad tried to get the chipmunk out. That was great. Freaking out.
We had a squirrel once. My dad, my parents always made me think if you like make eye contact or get close with a squirrel, boom, they're going to bite your neck. And you've got rabies, right?
Yeah.
So those are the steps in my mind. So like I did full ski gear. So I have goggles, you know, mask, all that. Just
made yourself big.
Yeah, cover up everything. But it was hot. It was summer. So I'm running around, you know, heavy gear. And eventually got him he was in the washing machine. And that's a whole nother. Then he's in there and I'm trying the broom and I didn't wash him. I guess I could. That would have been the easy way out, but I didn't take the easy way out. I eventually got him out of there and got him out of the house.
I love the detail of that is you know what they say. You don't want to make eye contact with the squirrel.
I've never heard that.
You're chasing a squirrel around and the squirrel's just fine. And then you look it in the eye and the squirrel's like, what?
Their eyes are so little. How do you even see it looking at you? You don't even notice.
You make eye contact with it, bare your teeth at it.
Then they come at your neck. And then you gotta protect the neck. So that's what you gotta put the gear on.
Tetanus is no joke, man. Tetanus is no joke.
No, it's not.
I've had many a tetanus shot in my life.
Yeah, I think that's a good lead into this next one, right? What a segue.
Come on.
So we got a comment on YouTube from Eggs and Butter. A way to save money and cut costs at home is to skip medical help. I once stepped on a rusty nail in a rotted landscape timber that went through my foot and hit bone when I was gardening with the kids. Instead of panicking, I told my kid and wife to grab a hose, get some palm olive. That's soap, I think. I calmly pulled off my shoe. It was pouring blood. Proceeded to rinse the wound with soap. Didn't go to the doc in a box for a tetanus shot. Just limped for a week and prayed. Highly recommend.
Man.
Well, yes. Pray. Always pray.
Definitely.
God is like, yo, just a hospital
God's
there
like,
for
I invented tetanus shots.
Right.
Hey, power to you. I'm definitely a guy. First off, palm olive is dish soap. It's not open wound soap.
Well, they wash the seagulls.
Yeah, baby ducks and such.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, so I mean, power to you, Eggs and Butter. I'm glad it worked out, but if a rusty nail went and hit your bone, you were really rolling the dice on that one, bro. Dude,
if anything hits your bone, like I don't care if it's rusty or not, go to the hospital.
It worked out for him. And I grew up in a house where, medical attention was, my mom was a nurse. So it had to be really, really bad for us to go to the doctor. My mom's rules were profuse bleeding, compound fracture, and nonstop vomiting. Those were the three things that you could go to the doctor for. So I do think that, you know, some people, you know, there's a little case of hypochondria in the country. People might think that, I think there are definitely some people who are going to the doctor far too often. But in this case, man, I'm glad it worked out, but I would have definitely gone and gotten a tetanus shot.
And he said, highly recommend. What if he didn't finish that sentence, though? What if it was like, highly recommend that you do go to the doctor and get a tetanus shot?
Yeah. Highly recommend stepping on a rusty nail and not treating it. Highly recommend.
Five out of five, he gives himself. Yeah.
I was down at our farm one time as a young boy, and we were building a dove coat, which is... Speaking of birds, you should have a dove coat. You'd have all sorts of birds to talk to. But we were building a dove coat down at our farm, and my grandfather was up on the ladder. He was like 73 at the time, and he was hammering. and came back and caught his forehead with the claw of the hammer split him wide open. You want to talk about not going to the doctor. He just went into the house, cleaned it up, super glued it, duct tape, went right back out, kept working. Huge scar on his head. Yeah, he was the man.
Not just duct tape, but super glue,
Super glue and duct taped his head
shut.
None of
that is meant for those purposes.
Yes. He was a beast. He was an eggs and butter man. He was a man of the egg and butter cloth.
Yeah. I get that, but let's go to the doctor.
The final comment we'll read out today. This is in the Life of Dad, Dad's Only Facebook group. First and foremost, Donkey Rider. I had to rewind and watch that part a few times, dying laughing. But seriously, I'm a full-time single dad of two girls, 12 and almost 6. Ooh. And it's both exhausting and the best thing I've ever done in my life. I really enjoyed the three of you talking about your relationships with your wives. I pray that I can find that relationship one day. I love the pod and the chemistry between the three of you. Well, Derek, thank you, man. And let's send some love to all the single dads and moms out there.
Shout out to the single parents.
Truly couldn't imagine it.
No.
Couldn't imagine it. Anna and I are both just absolutely burning it on both ends. And we've got, and both of us are getting after it. Really good partners doing our parts, giving each other breaks, the whole thing, and it's still hard. So doing it by yourself, Derek, like you said, man, it is the best thing you've done in your life. Without a doubt. There's no doubt. Your little girls are lucky, man.
Derek, you're crushing it, man. Thank you for sharing.
And if you're a lady out there, maybe look up Derek West. Maybe look out Derek West. Good dad, good taste in podcasts. You can trust that guy.
Can appreciate a good joke. Yep. Well, awesome. Well, let's kind of chat a little bit more about where we started the episode. And that was, leading up to going to the hospital. So, Mike, at your house, what do you remember just right before that baby came? Had you finished the nursery? What's going on in your mind and in your house right when it's go time?
Let's go. So with, I think this was with Scooby, my mother-in-law was there, and I think she was working. She was doing, I forget what she was doing, but it was almost midnight. And she would tell you that I was yelling at her. I would never yell at my mother-in-law.
No.
But I was just yo, we got to go. Yes. And she was trying to get off her call. I was like, all right, I don't know what you're about to do, but I'm about to go. But she always tells it like I was yelling at her. I wasn't. I would never yell at Jackie Schultz.
No, you being a first time dad saying,
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know where it is. And in my head too, I'm planning out the route. I'm thinking about where I'm gonna, how I'm gonna get there. So it was, that was chaotic.
Yeah, it was wild. Well, like I said, ours was baby Frankie came 8 days before the plan. So we did have a to-go bag packed, but what we were going to do that day was go out and buy more supplies and get more stuff for the hospital and all this stuff. So that kind of hit the fan, obviously. It happened. Like I said, Anna wanted to go out and run some errands, and I said no. I think a lot of women go into labor and there's a part of you that's kind of in denial.
You're about to go
and do this crazy scary thing, and they're like, no, we're good, we're chilling, everything's fine.
I guess I could see that, dude. I just could not imagine that kind of pain that I know I'm about to deal with. And I'm like,
I would put it off. I'd be like, nah, let's go hit a mic.
Right.
Let's go do a set. I can riff on my body splitting in half.
Oh my goodness, dude. That is, shout out to the mothers. That is.
With our second kids. So when my son Tommy was about to be born, we were renting to buy our first house. And we had been in the house renting, and then we were closing on it that day, and there was a scheduled, not C-section, but a scheduled day to go in and have the baby. So we were at our kitchen table, and the whoever comes to buy a house, the banker, whoever, where they are signing the paperwork at our table. My parents are in town and we're already in the house. Luckily, we were renting it, but we basically bought the house. We went from signing that paperwork, she's having contractions, went straight to the hospital and had a baby. And the same day, we officially purchased our house and had a child.
Welcome to it, Dad.
Yeah.
That is wild. That was with Barbara?
That was the second with Tommy. One. So okay. Barb was home with my parents at that time, you know, because we knew this day was coming. And
that's wild.
Yeah, so that all happened. So, you know, think of the two biggest, the two biggest things of your life or two of the biggest things of your life happening in the same day.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
Same day, same moment, really.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's wild. You buy this house and then the thing that comes next, it just completely pales in comparison to, you know, the house.
For sure. Right.
Purchasing a house.
It's a huge
deal. It's like that just goes out of your mind completely.
Yeah.
That's a trip, man.
It was wild. And it was, you know, and it's one of these things, it felt amazing, you know, having my second kid and able to buy a first house. It was kind of, you know, it was a point of pride. And my wife told me, like, when I held my son later that day, you know, I held him differently than I did my daughter, whether that's because it was a boy instead of a girl.
Yeah.
Well, it was all kind of traumatic stuff at the beginning. But like she said, she looked at me, she's like, "Wow, you're a man now."
You know your way around it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome,
yeah, so. that is true. And so because our bag was like half packed or whatever, I was once the baby came out, my parents, her parents, they came down, and then I was back and forth from the hospital to our house, grabbing stuff, grabbing specific pillows. That's something that's definitely, if you're out there and you are planning your first hospital trip or whatever, that's a hack. Got to bring your own pillows. Got to bring your own blanket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
White noise machine was huge for us.
Really?
Yeah. Not even just for the baby, but just for everyone involved. Because you got all the little beeps. Mm-hmm. And the sound outside and everything, white noise machine, bringing that to the hospital, major hack.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Do you have a bag packed? Did your wife take care of that? Or what were you actually bringing?
Yeah, we had a bag packed. So I can't tell you with Scooby. I don't remember. It was so long ago. But with Nunu, I remember Alicia was trying to do it naturally. She wanted to have,
no shot, no nothing.
Nothing.
Just rip it.
Which was whatever. That was a lot. But then she, so she packed a iPod player.
Oh.
Because she had her playlist. Like that, the was it the doula? I think, is that the doula?
Yeah, doula. Yeah.
She was telling her, you need to have a playlist together that'll be soothing to you because you're going to get in the tub, you know, when they get ready, when you start having all these contractions. So we get there, we get the... We get the iPod player, got it set up, got the lights dimmed.
Love it.
Water in the tub. Alicia sits in the tub, and like those contractions just kept getting. And I'm like trying to cut the volume up on the iPod
player.
She's
screaming over.
Yeah. I'm like, this is your song.
You're drowning out Jill
this
Scott.
Is what you, like this is what you want.
The best part of the song.
Though she about, I think it was maybe she may have been in that tub maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and she was like, nah. I got to get it. Hit me with the epidural.
Yeah, no judgment on that.
No, not
and,
at all.
Dude, by the way, the epidural that helps you with the pain is a needle that looks like a sword that goes right into your spinal column.
Which is
crazy.
So, I
mean, even that part, even to help with the pain, you have to go into, like, serious pain.
That's crazy. And the lady that gave her the epidural with no, she missed, like, 3 or 4 times.
Oh my God.
She kept missing. And it was getting to the point where she was like, yeah, I'm going to have to, if I don't get it this time, like you're going to have to just have the baby.
You're just going to have to rip this.
And so now I'm like so scared. Like, dude, don't miss. And she got it, thankfully.
How bad were these misses?
It was bad enough. I mean,
she's like, oh, it's in your leg. Yeah. that's my bad. I pierced your ear.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, she wasn't too far off, but it was just enough. But she finally got, and legit after, I want to say like maybe 25 minutes later, they were calling me like, hey, she's about to start pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Anna's was so wild because we were just in there. And And, you know, the there was doctors and nurses coming in, and they were really, like, kind of slow playing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They knew about her SVT, and they were just, you know, they were pretty casual about this. I don't think anybody saw it kind of happening as quickly as it did, just because it was this scheduled C-section a week later. And I remember a nurse came in, and it was just me and Anna and the nurse, and she checked Anna down there to see how far she was dilated. And then this nurse, I'll never forget it. I kind of saw her eyebrows raise, and she kind of comes up and she looks at Anna and goes, "Do you want to try pushing?" And Anna goes, like, "Here?" Like, we weren't even in the delivery room.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was like all systems go. Yeah. And then about 15 minutes after that, they had her wheeled out into the delivery room. And it started coming. But yeah, I mean, wow. Anna was like 3 inches dilated right when we got there. Truly. Like, wow. Full labor the whole night before, slept through it, thought it was Braxton Hicks. She was just going into active labor.
That's
fully wild. In denial, man.
Yeah.
Such a trip.
Yeah, for Barbara, we were, well, she was on the boulders. If you're listening earlier, she was on the boulders.
Yes.
And then it was the next day. Overnight, we'd already had the false labor, so she just stayed home that night.
Okay.
But the next morning, she had a scheduled doctor's visit. I remember we had this windy road, Laurel Canyon it is, through the mountains, heading into where the hospital is. And my wife was in pain then. We got to the doctor for a scheduled appointment, and she said, "How's it going?" "No, it's going all right." And she said, "Well," the doctor said, "Well, you're not in labor yet because you'd be feeling something." And at that point, you know, Lucy felt a strong contraction.
Oh, wow.
And she was already something like 6 centimeters dilated. And she was like, "Wow. Oh, yeah, it's time. Yeah, let's head to the hospital right now."
Wow, dude.
Well, so we got to the hospital. I pulled up, got out of the car. Anna stayed at the front door, and then I just went and parked and ran off, you know, and then ran back, and we got there, and this was all stuff that we were going to do in the 8 days that we thought that we had, right? Mm. So the birthing center at this place, it was obviously on the same campus, from where we had done all of our appointments and everything, but we didn't know exactly how to get to the birthing center. So we walked through the double doors, Anna's in labor,
sure. And
God love her heart, there is this little old lady, definitely just a volunteer, standing there or sitting at this table, and we're looking at her, and we go, "Can you get us, we need to get to the birthing center right now." And this little old lady, she was like, "Oh, okay." It was like a comedy sketch.
Yeah.
She was moving so slowly, and she was like, "Well, we could go this way or we could go that way."
And I'm like,
"We need to go to the fastest way. Get a wheelchair." And then she's pushing the wheelchair, and it's like a snail's pace. So then I take the wheelchair, and I'm like, and we're going. It was comical.
That's hilarious.
It was comical walking in, and the lady's like, "All right, well, we'll make our way there." We're like, "No, we gotta go, lady."
Dude, you know who our OBGYN?
Yeah,
it was the same one that was Ralphie Mays.
No way.
They had the same Dr. Schlechter.
Dr. Schlechter.
Yeah.
Ours was Dr. Was Holt. Shout out Dr. Holt.
Yeah. Not to brag, my daughter had the same heart surgeon as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, so come on, that, man.
Yeah, this guy's like a legend in the Dr. Von Starnes. Like, I've met a lot of celebrities, truly the biggest rock star in the world to me.
Yeah.
The man that can just go in and fix babies' hearts. Like,
way more impressive than any celebrity.
Yeah. I got to speak in front of him once at one of his, you know, celebration of his career. And that was so powerful just to be able to do that for him.
Yeah.
This guy that, one story. So we're going to have to do a part two of this episode because there's so much more to cover kind of in the hospital, all that.
Sure.
And we got like other dad comments, and we'll get to them next time. But I want to share one story of my father-in-law. So when Barbara was born, my father-in-law was there. And my wife wanted him to be in the room, but only on, you know, one side of the room so he doesn't see, of course, what's going on, right? So he's back here behind my wife, and the birth happens, and baby Barbara arrives, and there's so many doctors in there because, you know, she was a high-risk pregnancy and was going to be going into surgery. And so we're in this massive room, and then me and all those doctors then follow the baby up to the NICU immediately, where, and my wife stays back because she's recovering, and they finish up, they take, the placenta comes out next, I think, you know, mm-hmm. they're doing all this. I'm upstairs with my daughter, and my wife and her dad are still in there. And then the OBGYN, as she's cleaning everything up, you know, gets the placenta out, you know, do you have any other questions to Lucy? And Lucy's dad walks over. He's like, where do I get this validated?
Parking.
So, yeah. So the whole time throughout birth, and I can't say I would be any different, but the whole time throughout birth, he's thinking, how am I going to cover this $20 parking thing? Right? Focus, and that was his question for the OBGYN.
That rules. Yeah. Do you guys have like snacks?
Dude, I love the focus. I love it.
But so there was a like on our floor, on our birthing floor or whatever, they had like a little a room with granola bars and drinks and Jell-O and all that stuff, and they called it the nourishment closet. There was a sign on the wall that said the nourishment closet, and that just always kind of made me giggle.
Heck yeah.
You just be like, hey, babe, I'm going to the nourishment closet. You need anything? Oh, my God. I ate my weight in orange Jell-O.
Really?
I was crushing Jell-O. Yeah.
All right.
I ate so much Jell-O.
Dude, you know, I mean, was it that good or was it just...
If I'm going to Kroger, I'm typically not buying Jell-O. So if there was just a bunch of free Jell-O there, daddy's going to town. You know?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I got down with it. That was fun.
Yeah, I don't want to refer to you as daddy.
Yeah, no. It was the first person. It was a first person daddy reference.
You don't want to call him daddy, Mike?
I don't want you to either, brother.
Yeah.
So nobody here wants to call Lee daddy except for himself. No. All right.
That's fine.
Fair.
Frankie too.
Yeah, that's fair.
She ain't here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for the dad of the week this week, I'm gonna celebrate this guy that's huge in our community. His name is Joe Elmore. He is the lead moderator for a bunch of our groups for the Life of Dad Facebook page. And Joe is a heck of a guy. He's been a moderator since 2018. He has one kid. He is a gamer guy. He got a Commodore 64 when he was a kid, and he fell in love with gaming, and then he taught his son to love gaming as well. And that helped his son out tremendously. Because of gaming, he said his son is second in the country, in a county, in social studies, reading at a college level in middle school. And he credits all this to, you know, them on gaming. And this is just how, you know, dads find their way to connect with their kids in different ways.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It was gaming. And this put his kid on a incredible ascent. Is that a word? Ascent?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's thriving and crushing it. And he's so proud of his son. But Joe, he's had a tough time over the past, we'll say, 20 years, a whole bunch of issues physically, but also mentally. And it is June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And he's a guy that's been really open about this. And he has helped so many people. You know, everyone in these groups loves this guy because he's always the most uplifting guy in there and always the guy that's making everyone feel good and posting a meme that's going to make everyone laugh.
I see him in the groups all the time.
Right? Yeah,
very active on the groups.
Yeah.
And he's been very open about his struggle mentally, but in the truth, he's this lighthouse that is helping everyone else, mm-hmm. right? You know, he is...
It's often the case.
And we got so many guys kind of, you know, just wanted to nominate him and say that he's the man. So Joe, and he's actually been helping out with this. He'll kind of help me come up with some topics for the show and such. So Joe, you're the man, our dad of the week.
Jojo.
Keep on crushing,
Joe,
buddy.
Come on, buddy. Brother.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the help too, man. Yes. It's obvious.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, you see the community prompts. He'll post them in there.
Yes,
and we'll
it's
see
all,
these,
him.
All these things that come in. So he's the man. Well, fellas, dude, an hour goes by like that.
We did it.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, and I appreciate everybody like commenting and saying that they're enjoying it. And particularly when they say that like kind of the synergy, the energy between the three of us is coming together. Because I feel the same way, man.
I do
too. Tuesday mornings are arguably my favorite
time of the entire week,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's fun because then because, you know, I come and do the Life of Dad podcast with my boys and then go home and be a dad.
Be a dad.
Tuesdays rule.
Yeah, that's right.
I love Tuesdays, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah,
it's a good day. I'm excited for this one to come out.
Yeah. Let's go. Well, great to see you, fellas. Thank you all for listening and watching. If you want to leave a message, it's 857-DAD-CHAD, 857-DAD-CHAD. You can email us at podcast@lifeofdad.com. Thank you. Oh, the comments are incredible. Apple Podcasts, apparently like 80% of the people are listening on Apple Podcasts. I didn't realize how big Apple Podcasts was.
Yeah, and people are still commenting over there on Spotify.
Spotify is killing it too, yeah. But Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It helps us out tremendously, and keep on commenting and reviewing Spotify, on YouTube. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next week on Life of Dad.
Peace.
Peace.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.